This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Well, some of my earliest recollections of childhood center around being in a worship service on Sunday. And some of the things that I can still remember, some of those songs that we would sing. So songs like, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." So songs like, "There's Power, There's Power, There's Power in the Blood." But another one was, "There's a Fountain Free, 'Tis for You and Me." And that song was about a fountain opened for sin. So today we want to talk about that fountain. There's a fountain open for sin. I hope that you'll stay tuned. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize it is free. Will you take advantage of this opportunity? It could be the single greatest thing you've ever done for yourself. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. We're going to pause long enough for you to learn more about the course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
In Zechariah, the 13th chapter and verse 1, the prophet said, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness." And indeed, there is a fountain opened. That fountain opened was upon Calvary when Jesus died the death upon the cross and He shed His blood to redeem the whole world from sin. You know, we talk about blood and the message of blood, the message of shed blood is repugnant and distasteful to some people. And they would turn away from the sight of shed blood. And they would spurn that. But I'm here to tell you that the message of blood runs just like a scarlet cord throughout the Bible. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, there's a scarlet cord. And that scarlet cord is about the blood that would be shed upon the cross of Calvary. Well, I'm aware of the fact that in the day in which we live, there's very little preaching done about the blood of Jesus. I listen to a lot of television programs, and I think that's an observation that not that I've made, but you perhaps have made as well. And I find it strange that so little is said about the blood of Jesus today. And there are those that reject the idea of blood atonement. They reject the idea of blood atonement. One reason they do, because some people are not convinced we have sins that need to be atoned, that we need forgiveness. And another person would say, "Well, I just think it's absurd to suggest that someone else would have to die a vicarious death. That is, die in the place of somebody else." But that's exactly what the Bible teaches Jesus did. Friends, the Bible teaches that it took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to atone for the sins of the world. Listen to a passage in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. This passage is verse 22. Apart from the shedding of blood, there's no remission. You know, God used blood in every age of the world, really. God used blood to bring about the temporal deliverance of His people when they were in bondage in the land of Egypt. While God heard the cries of His people for deliverance, and He raised up Moses to go down and meet with Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to let the people go. But Pharaoh hardened his heart against them, and he hardened his heart against God. And he refused to let them go. It was not until Pharaoh had his heart broken that he let them go. You see, God brought 10 plagues on the land of Egypt, and that last plague was the death of the firstborn, not only of their children, but it was the death of their animals as well. And God wanted His people to be spared from that plague. He didn't want them to be affected by it. So He instructed Moses to tell the people to go out into the midst of their flock, to find a lamb that was a year old without blemish, to take the blood of that animal and to put it upon the lintel and the doorpost of their houses. And God made a promise about that blood. That promise is recorded in your Bible in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter and verse number 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to smite you, to kill you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Now that's a promise God made. If they took the blood of that lamb without blemish, put it on the lintel and the doorpost of their houses, that the plague would not affect that household. And every home that had blood on the door was spared the death of their firstborn. And that's when Pharaoh's heart was broken, and he let the people go. God also used blood in the Old Testament for a purpose, and that was they were to offer animal sacrifices to atone for sin. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 4, we're told that it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So sin could not be taken away with the offering of the blood of animals, that is, bulls and goats and the like. The fact is that all cleansing from sin is to be directly attributed to Jesus' blood, to His blood, not animal blood. And this is taught in the passage I just read to you from Zechariah is a prophecy about it. Let me read it to you again. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For what reason? For sin and uncleanness. And there is a fountain that is filled with blood. It is drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners that are plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And that fountain was opened at Calvary. Isaiah made some predictions about that offering in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, when he said that He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ died and He shed His blood for sin, to be a sin substitute, a sin sacrifice. Do we really appreciate that? Jesus said this about His own blood in Matthew 26, 28. This is My blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. You see, Jesus' blood was shed for remission of sins, that sins might be forgiven. And listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, verse 7. in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, if that verse had a period there, that'd be a powerful passage already. In whom we have redemption through His blood. But it goes on, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. By God's grace, Jesus shed His blood that we might be forgiven of our sins. Then look in the second chapter of Ephesians, the 13th chapter, verse. But now you who are sometimes afar off are made near or nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, we're separated from God because of our sins. And that which can cause us to be near God, close to God, is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 16th verse goes on to say that it is through Jesus' death on the cross that there is reconciliation with God. And that we're reconciled to God, both reconciled to God by the cross in the body of Christ. So it takes blood to get people close to God. Listen to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold received by the vain conversation of the tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood is precious blood. Precious because it was innocent blood. Precious because it was vicarious blood. Precious because it was voluntarily done. The precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, Jesus shed His blood. And all cleansing from sin is because of that blood. You see, even those who lived under the former dispensations of time would have their sins forgiven contingent upon the death of Jesus on the cross. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. That's how He became mediator of the new covenant, by death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. Well, what was the first covenant? That first law given by Moses to the people. That those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Someone says, what does that mean? Just to put it plainly, when Jesus shed His blood, He shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins of all mankind from the beginning of time to the end of time. That is for those who serve God according to His law and according to His will, whatever dispensation of time they may live in. All cleansing from sin is to be directly attributed to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Without His blood, there's no salvation. And now Jesus shed that blood, not just to forgive me all my past sins. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? But He shed that blood to keep me clean every day, pure of every day of sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 is a passage that we all need to understand and know. Listen to it. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. To walk in the light is to walk in fellowship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It is to walk in harmony with the Word of God, which is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Verse 5 refers to God as light. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. We've got to walk in that light. We've got to be in fellowship. And if we're in fellowship with God, we're in fellowship with the Godhead, then that blood is cleansing us of our sins if we walk in the light. You see, that is a condition, isn't it? Notice 1 John 1, 7 again. If we walk in the light. Then let's just suppose I told a teenager, if you will wash my car, I'll give you $20. Now, how will they get the $20? by, they'll have to wash my car. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, His blood cleanses us of our sin. That's the condition that is involved. And He says that it cleanses us. Cleanses us. The word in the original language that is in the Greek language that is translated in English, cleanses, means a continual process of cleansing so long as I walk in the light. So you see the blessing that we have of that blood, it's not enough just to be baptized. We have to walk in the light. We have to continue to be faithful to God, to serve Him day in and day out, never turn our back upon Him, never turn our back upon Jesus. And that blood keeps us clean. And what a blessed promise that is. Jesus' blood was illustrated when He went to that, was demonstrated in dying on that cross out of love for you and me. If I were to ask you to quote a passage in the New Testament about love, I have an idea a great percentage of you would quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? I've never in all of my years been able to really explain it fully because it's so full of meaning. How do you describe the great love of God? We can talk about its height and its depth and its breadth and its so forth, but what does all of that say about the love of God? Oh, what a great God we serve. And He gave His Son that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. He loved us that much that He let His Son die for you and for me. Some of you that are watching have children. Some of you have sons. Would you let a son die to save the world? Some of you perhaps have had a son that did die in the military, serving this nation. And what a sacrifice you have made. And your heart still hurts because of that sacrifice. Oh, it hurts. But that's nothing compared to what God did. He gave His only begotten Son to save people that even were not even people who wanted to be saved to begin with. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, there's nothing more beautiful than the love of God, illustrated, manifested by Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. But that blood that Jesus shed is confined to His body. That's where your blood is, isn't it? Confine your physical body, and it gives you life. And the soul-saving blood of Jesus is confined to His spiritual body. And it's the church. You see, the church is bought with blood. Listen to Acts chapter 20, 28. Take heed unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Listen to it now. Which He has purchased with His own blood. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:20, we're bought with a price. Well, what's the price? Blood. We were bought with the blood of Jesus. The church is a blood-bought body. There's a price for our redemption. Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. He died for His wife, His bride, the church. Oh, Jesus' blood. It's so wonderful. It is so wonderful. Someone says, well, Brother Lambert, I agree with everything you've said. But I just want to know, how do you contact it? How do you contact Jesus' blood? Well, suppose I say, well, that just simply you obey Jesus. And that'd be a rather simplistic answer, wouldn't that? That's just not enough, is it? Which is true, that's the right answer, but I know that you're wanting more. Well, suppose I were to say you're saved by God's grace. That's how we're saved, and indeed we are, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. But I think if we want to learn how we are saved by the grace of God, we turn to our Bibles, and we turn to a place in the Bible where Paul writes about how to be saved by the grace of God. And I'm going to the 6th chapter of Romans, and I want to read the 14th verse to begin with. He says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace." If we're saved, it will be by God's grace. But how are we saved by the grace of God? How are we saved by His grace? Well, let's look in the 6th chapter of Romans, because here's where we learn how we're saved by God's grace. I'm beginning to read verse number 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we'll also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall live with Him. Someone says, what does all that mean? That means that if we're to be saved, we have to come in contact with Jesus' blood. And when we die to sin, it is because we have been baptized into Christ, baptized into His death. That's what we read in verse number 3. We're baptized into His death. It was in His death that He shed His blood. By faith, we come in contact with that blood that washes and cleanses us of our sins when we're baptized into Christ, baptized into His death. Might I mention this, that salvation is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. And here we're told that we are baptized into Christ, so that's where salvation is found in Christ. That's how we get into Christ. And the reason salvation is in Jesus Christ by baptism is because we're baptized into the benefits of His death. And verse 4 says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." So we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Our sins are washed away in His blood, Acts 22:16. We arise to walk in the newness of life. Someone says, well, that's not what my preacher says. My friend, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Holy Spirit has revealed in the book. And my soul would be in jeopardy if I did not tell you what God says. I'm aware of all the different things that are said today. We need to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where it's silent. That's what the Bible teaches. That we must do to have our sins washed, baptized into Jesus. Somebody says, well, there's just one thing I want to know. What does going down into water, being immersed under the water and coming up out of the water, have to do with your sins being washed away? Well, to me, it is a beautiful likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But let me ask another question. You tell me what putting animal blood on the outside of your door, as the Jews did when they were in Egypt, when the Israelites were there in bondage and they were told to be saved from that last plague, to put animal blood outside their door, how could that blood on the door keep somebody on the inside of that house from dying during the night? Well, somebody says, that's simple, Billy. The reason the person in the house didn't die, because they did what God told them to do. They put the blood on the outside of the door. Well, there are just some things we do today in this age of the world because God said to do it. It may not be the... I'm sure there were some people in Egypt that laughed about them putting blood on the outside of the door. Made fun of them doing that. There might have been some of the Israelites who said, I'm not going to put blood on the outside of the door. But we don't know. But I'm here to tell you we better do what God said and God's way. Are you saved? Are you showing how important this blood really is? We show how important this blood is when we gather with the Lord's people on the first day of every week and partake of the Lord's Supper according to Acts 20 and 7. And if I were you, I would want to be in a church where they were doing that. And we show the importance of this blood when we apply it to our souls. Are you saved? Are you? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. I'd encourage you to obey the gospel, to wash your sins away in Jesus' blood through obedience to the gospel. I want to thank you for watching today, and may I encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And right now, pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible course. I want to thank you for watching. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.